From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for Wednesday, July 5th, 2017. I'm Philip Grant. Aaron Karen is reporting in the Columbia paper that the Philmont Library will mark the village's 125th birthday with an exhibition of historic Philmont-related items. Photographs, posters, books, and other memorabilia contributed by past and current residents will be on display during the month of July. Library Director Toby Farley said the director of the Community Day Committee, Monty Jennings, approached the library board about doing something special for the occasion. Jennings said a similar presentation was put together for the village's 100th anniversary. The show features a timeline of events that stretches from one side of the room to the other, along with collages and enlarged copies of newspaper stories about the village. The show will be unveiled on Community Day, July the 8th, and remain on display all month. The Philmont Public Library is open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and is located at 101 Main Street in the village. You can read that full story in the Columbia paper. The Associated Press is reporting that a wetter-than-normal spring in the Northeast has produced an exceptionally large number of mosquitoes, leading to concerns about a potential spike in mosquito-borne illnesses. The rainfall saturated the ground in Maine, creating standing water required for mosquitoes to breed, and mosquitoes have been especially bad on Maine's coast. It was rainier than usual in many other parts of the country as well. However, an epidemiologist for the Maine Center of Disease Control said it is too early to say if this means an increase in West Nile virus and Eastern equine encephalitis. For mosquito-borne illnesses to become a big problem, a concentration of the right mosquito species along with the presence of the virus must coincide. Human cases of Eastern equine encephalitis and West Nile tend to appear in mid to late summer if they appear at all. You can read that full story in the Daily Freeman. Amanda Purcell is reporting in the Columbia Green Media on the continuing response to a recent spike in the drug overdose deaths in Green and Columbia counties. Carl Quinn, president of Columbia Pathways to Recovery, said, and I quote, "The numbers that we are dealing with in Columbia County are just enormous, and it is one of the biggest health crises this county has ever dealt with," end quote. Two sessions on the use of naloxone will be held this week. Those attending the workshops will learn the signs and symptoms of heroin and opioid overdose and how to use naloxone. Upon completion, participants will receive a certificate of completion and an overdose prevention kit. Approximately 50 people are expected to attend the training session in Copec on Wednesday. Project Safe Point has so far trained nearly 350 people in the use of naloxone, Quinn said. Training session sponsored by Columbia Pathways to Recovery will be held at 7 p.m. on Wednesday, July the 5th at Copec Town Hall, 230 Mountain View Road in Copec. Naloxone training will now be offered at 4:30 p.m. on the second Monday of every month at Twin County Recovery Services, 428 West Main Street in Catskill. Anyone seeking addiction services is urged to call 1-877-HOPE-365 anytime between 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. You can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Chris McKenna reports in The Fray that Representative John Faso, the Republican of Kinderhook, sent a letter on June the 26th asking the Environmental Protection Agency to tighten its oversight over the chemicals that have contaminated drinking water supplies in Newburg and Hoosick Falls. Faso, with Vermont Democrat Representative Peter Welch, asked EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt to, and I quote, "play a central role in developing the science around perfluorinated compounds and properly regulating them," end quote. They want the EPA to set national drinking water regulations for PFOA and PFOS chemicals. The water in Hoosick Falls in Rensselaer County is polluted with PFOA, and the water in Newburg farther south has PFOS. You can read that full story in The Fray. Daily Freeman reports that New York wildlife officials say there are now 323 breeding pairs of bald eagles in the state. Aerial surveys show that 73% of the state's 442 known nesting territories are occupied, according to the Department of Environmental Conservation Commissioner Basil Sagos. Pesticides nearly eliminated eagles from the state in the 1960s, and from 1976 to 1989, the DEC imported young eagles and hand-reared them for release in New York. You can read that full story in the Daily Freeman. Matthew Hamilton reports in Capital Confidential that New York voters will consider two constitutional amendments in November. Now, bills passed by two consecutive executive legislators but not signed by the governor go to the voters. This November, voters will consider stripping convicted public officials of their pensions and creating a Forest Preserve land bank. The first would allow judges, when sentencing public servants, to take away the pensions of the convicted. 100 acres will be set aside for the Catskills, and 150 acres will be set aside for the Adirondacks in the Second Amendment to create a Forest Preserve land bank. You can read that full story at Capital Confidential. Finally, H. Rose Snyder reports in the Altamont Enterprise that the Rensselaer Volunteer Ambulance is closing up after 45 years, replaced by Shared County Emergency Services. Marion Overbach, an emergency medical technician for Rensselaer Volunteer Ambulance, said she and the organization's two other EMTs will continue to volunteer in their community. She said, and I quote, "It was an easy decision," end quote. Without any ambulance, they say they will treat patients at accident scenes until an ambulance arrives. Rensselaerville in southern Albany County retains the advanced life support service with a paramedic in a fly car stationed in either Rensselaer or Westerlo. The town is also now contracting from the county an emergency medical technician stationed in an ambulance at the Helderberg Ambulance Station in Bern. The volunteer squad will be completely dissolved by September. Town is keeping the ambulance's former station building and its $88,000 a year bill for insurance. Albany County Sheriff Craig Apple has suggested he could use the building as a stopover point for patrolmen. You can read that full story in the Altamont Enterprise. And now for the weather. The National Weather Service in Albany is predicting a sunny day for today with the temperature high near 82 degrees. For Wednesday night, it will be partly cloudy with a low around 60. The forecast for today is, well, on Thursday, a chance of showers, mainly after 1 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a high near 79 degrees. Thursday night, a chance of showers, cloudy with a low around 63. And on Friday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a high near 79 degrees. Friday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a low around 64. Sunrise today was at 5:23 a.m., and the sun will set at 8:35 p.m. That will give us 15 hours and 12 minutes of daylight, 1 minute less than yesterday. And that wraps up the WGXE Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for today, Wednesday, the 5th day of July 2017. From the WGXE Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.